Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome into hour number two here on Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, the boys. The boys, I mean, Matt Scraby and Chris Ello are at Buffalo Wild Wings out in Mira Mesa. Come on down and check out the new digs. It looks pretty slick. Pretty good setup.
Not only that, we've already given away some winners, Tony. I want to congratulate Daniel out there. He won a pair of tickets to the Padres-Astros game.
That's right.
Daniel scored those. And we had Mervin and Leland and Adam. All three won Buffalo Wild Wings for a year.
A year.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's already, you know, happening. Everybody who didn't win is coming after Scraby because Scraby picked the names out of the the hopper. But we're going to do it again at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So if you missed out this time, make sure you get to Buffalo Wild Wings between now and then.
And you have to be here for it.
That's right. So. Yes, you need to be here to win. So,
all right. Gentlemen, are we doing daily gambling? What are we doing?
We're gonna put the daily gambit to the next segment, but let's talk about our fantasy draft for a second.
Scraby wants to talk about that.
Before we go to the fantasy draft, see, I know the champ wants to talk about fantasy football, but I want to stick to the Padres for a second.
Okay, yeah, just, of course.
Just having this conversation with my partner Jesse Eckert. If you guys had to guess, how many RBIs has the catching duo combined for this year?
Higashioka and Campusano, I'd say 65.
65. What do you say, Matt?
Because I know they have about
58.
They have about 25 home runs. Yeah.
So, you know, and I say this because oftentimes, you know, we have our show and people want to pick on Campy and say, you know, when are we getting to see Elias Diaz come in and get an opportunity? Well, combined, those guys have combined for 83 RBIs as a duo. You put them together as one person, I think any team would take 83 RBIs from whoever, if it was one catcher or two, for that matter. But that's how productive that spot has been all year. And early on, it was Campy who was getting the bulk of the playing time. He got hurt. He went into a slump. It flipped, and now Kyle's the one who's getting the bulk of the playing time. But from a production standpoint, Campy has 8 homers, 40 RBIs, despite all of the riffraff that's going on around him. Kyle's got, what, I think 16 and 43 RBIs in the time that he's had. So, you know, that kind of combo together has really been about they've equally given you about the same production. One has a few more homers, but RBIs-wise, he right there with Kyle.
Well, it goes along with the whole reason why the Padres are leading Major League Baseball in hitting, Tony. It's because they get it from the bottom of their order as well.
Yeah.
For a lot of the season, that's included Jackson Merrill. But even when he moved up and Peralta started hitting seventh, Peralta had a really good month of August.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had Ha-Sung down there. You know, we've had some other guys. But the Padres probably get more from their bottom three in the order than any team in baseball, I would believe.
I would guess so, for sure. And the cold part about it, as good as Peralta has been, guess what he's about to do? He's about to be watching some baseball just like Donovan Solano had to do after he held it down for a long period. And this is what depth really looks like. Like, when you take a guy out of the lineup, you're like, dang, we got to take that guy out of the lineup? Oh, well, we're putting this guy in the lineup. And so, I mean, these are tremendous. I can't think of any times as I've been working here full-time or even when I was working here part-time that the Padres have had this kind of depth in their lineup where they could take – where somebody can miss as much time as Toddy missed or as Bogey missed and really not miss a beat at all.
Yeah, good problems to have if you're Mike Shildt. And, you know, there's a really good article again in the paper today about how well this team gets along and how the job that Shildt has done kind of fostering, the family atmosphere. I think everybody says they want to do that as a manager. Not everybody's able to accomplish that. You know, whether it's the players themselves or Mike Shildt probably gets some credit, but it is one of those seasons where everyone seems to be getting along great. You travel with them, Tony. It doesn't seem like there's really been a lot of hiccups anywhere along the way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, you know, that is – it takes buy-in. You got to have buy-in from the dudes who are playing, and he got that. And I think that was aided in the fact that he was able to kind of build these relationships over the last 2 years before he took over as manager. He didn't have kind of the disadvantage of walking into a new place, not knowing anybody, having to spend time getting to know guys before you could learn how to – communicate with him. He kind of already had a pretty good idea from the moment he got the job. And I think that has paid. That's probably, in my honest opinion, that's probably been the best move that AJ has made out of all these moves. Because this was the first domino to fall. Remember, we waited. We were expecting the whole drama of, was Bob coming back? Was he not coming back? He didn't come back. And then it was like quiet for a long time after he decided he wasn't coming back. And then Mike got the job. And from that from that point on, it seemed like everything that has turned into gold for the Padres to this point. So they'll got to keep it moving. We've talked about that. All right, now we can go to your fantasy football there, Scrape.
Oh, yeah, the Padres always first before fantasy football because no one wants
to
hear about
me being a champion. Yeah, there was a time where you would have tried to cuss me out if I wanted to talk about something else other than Padres this early in the show. I like that you kind of loosened up your reins a little bit.
I've had to. I mean, I've grown a lot. You guys have.
You're,
I was talking. You're kind to my
of a mini. You're
this.
Kind of a mini Dave Marcus. You lord over Chris and I often. So you know, I get it.
I don't lord. I mean, Dave is the one who lords. But
well,
I
the only difference between you and Dave is that you don't sit high above.
That's
over
what I'm
our shoulder.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the only difference.
That's the only difference. You behave the same.
I do not behave the same. Oh, should I talk about all the people that were like, why doesn't Chris follow the rules when he's in studio? Why is he eating when you said not to? I don't know, everybody.
That might have been the funniest part of the show yesterday is Adam walking in and him just going to work on whatever he was eating on. Didn't even stop.
And he goes, he raises up his hands like, here's how greasy my hands are. All right.
Can you just do one more imitation of my voice for everybody?
Oh. Hey, everybody, we're going to eat some wings.
You are the worst impersonator on the planet,
ever.
I promise you.
Can you do a scrapey voice, Chris?
No, I don't try to, as I can do, and I don't want to.
Okay.
I've never really spent any time trying to work on it.
Really? You don't spend all your time working on my voice? Okay. All right. Fantasy football draft was pretty fun last night, I got to say. Other than your nephew or godson, I always forget which he is, but your
godson
talking trash in the chat. It was fun.
First of all,
it was really
that is literally why ESPN made the whole area
chat
to talk trash. Yeah, that's why they made it. It's so that you can talk trash while you're drafting.
That's what it's there for. Yeah, I would think. You know, I didn't start off too well. I had my heart set on Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he was originally about the 8th or 9th listed guy. But by the time the draft started, he had moved up to number 3 or 4. I don't know what he's done, you know, but everyone loves this guy, so I had no chance to get him at number 7.
Who got him? I don't remember.
I don't remember. Somebody got him really early. And so I was left with a choice of Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. And Scraby was behind me, so I left Ja'Marr Chase for him. I went with Jefferson and your guy, Kevin O'Connell. But that may be a decision that I'm, you know, upset about all season long, because I know I'm going to be comparing those two guys all year now, knowing that I could have had either or.
Yeah,
and I went with Jefferson. So
no disrespect to Sam Darnold, but you know, one's got Sam Darnold throwing to him, the other's got Joe Burrow throwing to him. That's tough, but one
has Kevin O'Connell as coach, right?
That's
Scrape?
True. I was listening to my fantasy football podcast this morning,
that's
and
true.
They were saying, like, if there was any coach that can out scheme for having a iffy quarterback, it's Kevin O'Connell.
Well, I hope they're right, and I just hope that the Vikings are losing every game in the fourth quarter, and they just have to throw to Jefferson endlessly to try to catch up.
Yes,
so that was my thinking. Who did you get in the first round, Tony? You were early. I think you got Breece Hall, did you not?
I took Breece Hall.
You're going to love him.
I had the chance to take Bijan there, but I didn't. There's just too much hype around him. I feel like whenever there's hype around a dude like this, it just doesn't turn out well. I know your boy is flexing in the bottom of the screen right now because he's an Atlanta Falcon. I'm glad he didn't hear my NFC picks yesterday. He would have been quite disappointed.
he was monitoring.
I think the Falcons are going to be good this year. I do.
We'll see. But that'll be your guy all year that you compare to, probably, Tony, is if Bijan Robinson does better than Breece Hall, you'll be sour.
I will be quite salty about that one for sure.
I just want to know, did Scraby, like, because I said you stole my guy two or three times. It was more near the second half of the draft.
Which guys? Khalil Shakir was one.
Khalil Shakir was one. I think, did you get Ladd McConkey? Maybe
I'm
Greg
not sure.
did right after you.
Yes,
but
yes.
He was another guy I wanted, and maybe one more. But did you have anybody steal anyone you wanted? Because you've been just on a lucky fantasy roll here for two years.
Lucky fantasy roll.
And I think it all carries over part of the draft, where everybody you wanted, you probably got.
Yeah, I wanted a quarterback earlier. I got Kyler Murray. I'm not really feeling good about it until I see him play this year. The Cardinals, I have no idea if they're going to be good or not. But I can't remember who stole the person like three picks in front of me, or four picks in front of me, and
you know,
sent me into a tizzy.
Somebody stole a couple of my picks. I wanted Derrick Henry coming back. That was the one that I really wanted. Somebody snatched him. And then I wanted Lamar again, and I couldn't.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to get to Lamar, and then I had to pivot to CJ really quickly after, because those were like the two quarterbacks I had like targeted for the draft this year.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, he was coming up, and I was like, I'm going to take him again. Run it back with Lamar, and then our guy from KSON, John, he
snuck
him
in there.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to know that everybody out there, I want everybody to know I was the nerd in the 11th round that was first to draft a defense. That's right. I finally broke down. I don't know why the Cleveland Browns are supposedly this great defense, but they were rated so high, I just took them. But I couldn't wait any longer to take a defense. I'm like, somebody's got to do it.
I definitely liked my 11th round pick. That went to Caleb Williams. And That could be a keeper pick coming up next year, depending on how my man Garrett Wilson does. It's my last year keeping, or next year will be my last year keeping Garrett Wilson.
Well, Caleb Williams is either going to just be on point, or I don't see a middle ground for that. So we'll see where it goes with that. But yeah, Tony, you did a great job as a commissioner once again.
Yes, good job.
And now we can all sit back and have a lot of fun. I tried to make a couple of trades already today.
Yeah, you did.
I was rebuffed by Sam Levitt on one trade, which I think would have been fair to my advantage, so I can understand why he turned that down. But I have also offered another one, and if there's something I don't like, somebody tell Ron Davis, I made this offer like 5 hours ago and I haven't heard back.
Okay, at least 24 hours.
I can't stand when people don't get back to you on a draft offer or a trade offer.
You know what? It's kind of like when you send a text to someone you went on a date with. Like, if you get something back within 24 hours, maybe there's something there. If you don't get anything back, you know there's nothing there. So.
Yeah, well, just have a little respect for your opponents. And I want to hear
a little respect.
Yes, I want to just say no. If you don't want the trade, say thanks, but no thanks. I'm
Chris,
okay with that.
Are you trying to offload your defense? Is that why? No,
I was trying to trade the Browns for Lamar Jackson.
I gotta say, I respect Chris's move on this, because this is more of a personal pleasure move for Chris. He wants a Dolphin so that he can actually enjoy watching his fantasy. And he's willing to give a little bit on this. I think it's a pretty good deal, personally. But
do you know Sam Levitt thinks it's a conspiracy against him from the Padres League that we drafted for, and then this Odyssey League, because he drafted last in both leagues, so he was back to back. He texted me during the draft last night, and he goes, "Man, being last is so boring because you just sit there for like 20 something picks when it comes back around to you."
I have one last thing to add on the draft, you guys, and this has to do with my lovely. The great Lori Ello out there.
Oh, wait. By the way, did you find out if Lori was actually listening to the show?
Yes. On her draft, I don't think she was, because she was pretty good with me. She was okay last night when she finished her first draft. But when she finished our draft last night, she took her tablet and she practically fired it across the room. She was so disappointed that she picked Pat Freiermuth as a backup tight end.
Why?
I don't know why.
That's not a bad pick.
She thought it made her look dumb in the eyes of all of you guys.
Well, at least she said it. She did,
and she was like so disappointed. So I spent the next 5 minutes trying to, you know, get her, you know, fired back up. I said, "Hey, you got this player, you got that player, you did good." And then I want to thank the fantasy gods, because 5 minutes after that, they sent out the draft rankings, and she got an A. And she all of a sudden thought, again, now she was the best drafter in the world. And so I had a wonderful night thanks to that.
Did you tell her that when you get an A in your post-draft recap, that means your team's going to be terrible? If you get an F, it's going to be great.
I don't know what it means.
Why would he tell her that?
I'm not going to tell her that, but I know that when she got an A last night, you guys, she was so happy. And of course, happy wife, happy life.
I want to thank.
I thought maybe Tony rigged that so that her draft would get an A. I don't know how that you would do that, but
I took care of you, buddy. I took care
of you. Thanks, pal. I was so happy when she got an A. That made my night, because thankfully she would leave me alone after complaining.
I'm getting the break fingers from Mr. Matt Scravey. Let's get to break. I have to head out and get ready for this ball game. You guys, or I should say Chris and Matt, will take over from Buffalo Wild Wings out in Mira Mesa. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, we're rolling along here. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Matt Scraby alongside. We're at the Buffalo Wild Wings location in Mira Mesa. Brand new location, Scraby. They're only 7 days old here.
Really?
And I'll tell you one thing. This place is already, you know, doing fantastic things. They've got at least, and I'm not overstating this, you can back me up, at least 35 television screens I can see from where I'm sitting here.
There's eight there. There's four more. There's a ton of screens.
Yeah, I mean, so you come out here, like, let's say on a Saturday for college football, right? You can watch every game in the country going on at one time. Buffalo Wild Wings has been doing it for a long time. I was talking to the manager. How many years do you think Buffalo Wild Wings has been open for business in terms of a company nationwide?
I could be really wrong about this, but I believe it was like the 70s.
The 70s. That's going to be right. It's 43 years old.
43, okay.
Buffalo Wild Wings. So they started in 1981. Do you know the first location of Buffalo Wild Wings. Trivia.
Mm.
I guessed Buffalo. Thought I would take a shot. It was not the correct answer. You'll never get it. There's no way anybody would ever get this unless you knew it beforehand.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. The first Buffalo Wild Wings location was in Oxford, Ohio, at the University of Ohio. The Bobcats.
Yes.
There was two students at the University of Ohio. They opened the first Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's a crazy
story. 43 years ago.
Wow, that is a crazy story.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But they've come to Mira Mesa, and we got a great crowd out here today because, well, probably they want to see Scraby, and they want some of his fantasy luck to rub off on them before the season starts. But also because we're giving away two more pair of Padre tickets to see the Padres take on the Astros September 18th. And we're giving six more winners here for Buffalo Wild Wings for a year. We have a seventh one of those prizes that we're going to let everybody else in on out in our listening audience, but we'll tell you about that in a little bit. So we're excited to be here today, and I want to thank Kevin and everybody for having us up here. They brought us mild, which I need, Buffalo Wild Wings,
yes.
The regular mild, because I can't go that hot.
Yep.
We got mango habanero.
I'm going to eat one right now.
Enjoy. And then they brought us out some garlic parmesan, Buffalo Wild Wings. So we really appreciate it. We're having a great time. Come on by and join us and win some prizes. Scraby, are you ready for today's Daily Gambit?
Yes, I am, sir.
Because we have 1 minute left in this segment.
Okay, great. Okay, great.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We're just going to review the bets from yesterday. First bet, Dodgers -1.5 on the run line over the Angels. Now, this one went into extra innings. It was 2-2, I believe.
Yeah.
Chris chose the Halos. Tony and I chose the Dodgers, and it was the Dodgers.
6-2.
Yes.
They scored four runs in extra innings, so that was a bad beat for me.
That is a bad beat.
Yeah.
Arizona at San Francisco, over under a total number of runs, 8. You went under. Tony and I went over. It was over. Giants won 8-7, so it was 15.
No, Diamondbacks won
8-7,
right. Unfortunately.
But, long as
still
the winner
over.
Doesn't matter. So
still went over.
Paul Skeens over under 6.5 strikeouts. You and Tony went under. I went over. He went under. He had 6.
6 strikeouts, 5 innings yesterday, but they were shutout innings at Wrigley Field.
Did you see the we talked about it kind of on the show, but the umpire who got mad at him, like, that
yeah,
was,
what was that all about?
It was a huge overreaction by the umpire.
No kidding, and then the umpire yelled into the dugout and said, hey, you go talk to him, to the manager of the Pirates. You go talk to him, and the manager looked at the umpire and said, no, I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, did Derek Shelton just point and say, why didn't you call that a strike?
No, he was upset that the umpire was kind of baiting Paul Skeens.
He was.
And
he
Paul
totally
Skeens
was.
Didn't do anything wrong. I mean, and you know if he did something wrong, you and I would be over it.
We would.
But I didn't get that.
I think it was Doug Eddings who was the umpire. And
bad umpiring by Doug Eddings.
He's
right
the same
there.
Guy when Jace Tingler was in Miami, and he said, that's about enough out of you, Trace. Didn't even get his name right. So Doug Eddings.
Doug Eddings, loser umpire. Sorry.
Angel Reese over under 13.5 rebounds last night. Chris went over. Tony and I went under. And I can't predict her because she went over with 16.
16
rebounds.
For Angel, yeah.
Asia Wilson, over under 27.5 points in last night's game. All of us went over. All of us were correct. She scored 30 points.
She's been on a roll.
And then Dimitrov, -2.5 game favorite over, is it Francis Tiafoe?
Francis Tiafoe, yeah, the American.
We all chose USA. Tiafoe won, and he won by 8 games.
Tiafo is going to play our guy Taylor Fritz in the semifinals, an All-American semifinal at the U.S. Open. San Diego's Taylor Fritz against Tiafo, and that's going to be an exciting match on Friday. So
yes.
congrats to Taylor Fritz. Even though we haven't been able to get him on our show, he does reach his first ever Grand Slam semifinal. That's impressive.
Do you think that's why he's not coming on the show?
Well, we've been trying to get him a long time
since
before.
Since Wimbledon.
Yeah, before he got to this stage. But that's not bad for a kid from Torrey Pines, man, all the way to the U.S. Open semifinal. So
oh,
good luck to Taylor
Torrey
Fritz.
Torrey Pines guys.
Fritz and Tiafo, an All-American semifinal. That'll be fun. All right, we'll come back. We got more Gwen and Chris coming up. Kirk Kenny's going to join us with an Aztec football report. That's next on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. We are having a good old time today out here at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Mira Mesa. We got some more listeners and fans out here signing up to potentially win a pair of Padre tickets. Padres Astros game. That's going to be a good one, Scrape, September 18th. Not only the Astros come to town before the season is over, but do the White Sox come here? Sox come here too.
Final regular season series. I have a question in the Big Five.
Oh, you do?
That's so random that you brought that up because I was looking ahead last night and I have a question.
The final home series this year against the White Sox. Man, what a team they have.
I mean, by that time, are the White Sox even going to be playing or are they just going to forfeit their games?
They're 31-109.
I went off on Jerry Reinsdorf last night.
They are currently 78 games under 500. And when they get here for that series, they're going to be closing in on the all-time record of 120 losses by the New York Mets of 1962.
All right, let's save this because you're barking right at
is
my
that
question.
What, is that what the question is going to be? All right, we'll save it for the Big Five. That's an hour from now. But coming up in this segment, Kirk Kenny is going to join us from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Talk about my San Diego State Aztecs, who were victorious in the opener over Texas A&M.
Commerce.
Sounds better. Texas A&M.
Commerce.
45-14 was the score. We'll get the fallout from Kirk. Is he with us yet?
Adam
Klug. Do we have Kirk Kenny online? Because we're here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Oh, we got to do traffic first, says Adam Klug. He is the boss, and he is also correct on this one. And indeed, Kirk Kenny is about set to join us. I want to remind everybody, if you take a day off of Buffalo Wild Wings, get some Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. Dining takeout options, visit our friend spiroscuisine.com. All right, Mr. Kirk Kenny joins us as he is covering an undefeated major college football program right now, the 1-0 San Diego State Aztecs. And Kirk, let's start with this because it's kind of the elephant in the room, if you will. Just out of curiosity, what was kind of the?
Are you going to say hello to me first, or just start right in?
It's a fair point.
Yes,
it's a fair
it is
point.
A fair point.
You know, sometimes I don't. I just start right in, don't I?
Yeah, sometimes.
Right. Well, right. I don't get a lunch invite. You guys are out at somewhere cool. I don't get a lunch invite.
Well, hold right on.
Well, now, hold wait a on. Minute. Scraby's going to stick up for me on this one.
Because you were a fan of another chicken restaurant.
You're the fan of a competitor, Kirk.
We can't be having you here. You're not going to even come here.
You're a fan of a competing place.
There's more than one meal a day. I can change my route.
Okay, right. Next time.
Perfect,
next time.
Kirk. Well, you're certainly welcome to come by.
Yes, that's true.
And we're still going to be here another hour and a half. All right, Kirk Kenny, thank you for being with us.
601.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Halftime, they're losing 6-3 to A&M Commerce. You're walking around the press box. There's a lot of Aztec, officials and people, who work there. And you're sitting there looking at each other in the media. What is going through the mind of everybody at halftime of that game on Saturday before it got good?
I think there were people kind of shaking their heads and uncomfortable expressions on their faces and somebody looking for a defibrillator, that kind of thing.
Looking for a defibrillator.
Trying to wake the team up.
Yeah. I hope there was no danger up there. I didn't want that to be the case. But the first half, I don't know, maybe we should have expected with a new coach and a freshman quarterback, but it was very difficult to watch. The penalties were piling up. They couldn't get anything going, and you know, it was kind of tough at halftime, Kirk. I mean, it really, you know what was Sean Lewis's thing?
One thing is, first games are always a little bit unusual. You know, there's a lot of new players, and then you had a true freshman quarterback who, you know, was just getting on the field and took a little bit of time to get his bearings. But, you know, then they kind of turned things around pretty quickly in the second half.
Talking to Kirk Kenny from the San Diego Union Tribune, and I want to ask about that quarterback because I thought Danny O'Neill was pretty impressive for his first ever college game as a true freshman. And Chris and I both talked about this yesterday, that throw that he had over the top. It was perfect. It was like something that we don't usually get to see out of a San Diego State quarterback. Do you think that he's just it was just nerves in that first half, or do you think that he was kind of outmatched and then found his way?
I think it was more nerves than being outmatched. And, you know, there were a few overthrows, and then he kind of dialed it in. I think he deserves definitely some credit for some poise and not letting it get to be too big for him of a moment. And then second half, he was 11 for 12. And after starting 1 for 7, he was, I think, what, 21 for 26.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive performance. And you're right, Kirk. That, I mean, because the fans were – I got to be honest with you, man. Some of the fans, I was out in the stands. They were tough. I mean, they expected the Aztecs to score 40 points
it's
in the first quarter.
Half. It's the first half of the season, people.
Fan is short for fanatics, Gravy. Don't ever forget
right.
that. But
people in our society, they want to judge something after one play or one down or one quarter. And they,
they
let something unfold, right?
Yeah, well, that's a good thing it had a chance to unfold on Saturday. Take us through Sean Lewis and his, you know, how much did he share about his mindset at halftime and what he told the team, you know, at the half in terms of, you know, trying to get it squared away in the second half. I'm curious what his, you know, thought process was, Kirk.
I think he told them to play better.
Okay. Simply,
You know, we tried to get some of that out of him. You know, do you scream at guys? Do you just, you know, remain calm all as well? What do you give them? And especially in an opening game, you know, he wasn't going to go crazy. And I think it's just like they focused on what they were doing wrong. I mean, another thing we haven't brought up yet is they made, I believe, 9 penalties in the first half. They had 16 for the game, which I looked up is more than they've made in this century in a game. And that definitely holds you back. So they just started correcting some of their mistakes, and then they took off.
Kirk, we were we talked to Dale Sean Staley in studio a few weeks before the season started. He was all over the place. But I don't know how much I could take from their performance on Saturday defensively because they were playing Texas A&M Commerce. Like, do we think that this performance was just because they were playing an inferior team? Or do we think that this defense is going to be an Aztec defense that we're used to?
I think the defense will definitely stand up. Obviously, it's a very big step up in competition. And, you know, a game like that, it's like get out there, get the butterflies out of the way, you know, play some game speed, and then, you know, see what you got the next week. The biggest challenge now against Oregon State, you're playing a former Power 5 school, which still trying to find its way. But they ran the ball very well last week in their opener against Idaho State. They rushed 58 times for 362 yards. So the biggest challenge for the Aztecs is going to be stopping the run so they can get the ball back for their offense.
Yeah, you mentioned Dale Sean Staley had a beautiful interception that would have killed a drive, and it got called back because of a roughing the passer. And we talked about the penalty. You talked about the penalties, Kirk. We mentioned it, obviously, all week. I don't know that some of those penalties really were penalties. I don't want to be too critical of a referee crew because I don't really do football. But it seemed like they were looking and calling every single possible thing out there. I didn't know that any of the roughing the passers really should have even been called. So I'm going to give the Aztecs a little break on the 16 penalties. I think some of them were, you know, maybe not really there. But I guess
I think one thing you find is that at the start of a season, and you would know this, Chris, the officials are emphasizing things that they've probably been talking about for a month or so leading into a season, and I think things start to loosen up a little bit as the season goes on.
I think that's a really good point, Kirk. Kirk Kenny is with us. The Aztecs did win. All right, let's talk about the second half, though, and what they did well. First of all, was, you know, opening things up for this running back, Cooper. I over 200 yards. I think most of it was in the second half. They hit some big plays, and, you know, they blocked, and, you know, they obviously wore down, you know, a Division II school. But talk about some of the things that Sean Lewis was happy with once they got it together.
Something that I thought was a pretty neat note is this year they're letting the teams use tablets on the sidelines. And they said they made a mistake in the first play of the game that they took the wide receivers group and pointed it out on one of the tablets. And later in the game, they made the play right, and that's what sprung Cooper for a 47-yard touchdown run that kind of got things going. So that was one thing. I mean, the other thing is just they made fewer penalties. They just finished plays that they weren't doing in the first half, and it kind of started to snowball.
I need to turn on my mic, Chris. We're talking to Kirk Kenny here, San Diego Union Tribune, about the Aztecs. And you wrote earlier this week, and I had to click on it because it was a good title. It says, Aztec Notes, seeing over the O-line a tall order for new SDSU quarterback Danny O'Neill. I didn't realize this, but he has two linemen, a left tackle that's 6'8", and a left guard that's 6'9". I mean, is this actually an issue for him, or is this just a kind of a fun thing, a fun note for all of us?
I think it was more of a fun note and a, you know, interesting note. You know, how often are we somewhere and all of a sudden you find out that you're at a theater or a game and of course the tallest guy in the place is right in front of you and you're having to look around him from the left or the right. But, you know, I think a kid like Danny O'Neill, they're accustomed to having some players in front of them that are taller, so you find your ways to look around or find a lane or to kind of take a couple steps one way or another to find your receivers, and obviously he did fine.
Yeah, 11 out of 12 in the second half. I mean, that's picking it up for sure. And, you know, what turned out to be a really good performance by the freshman quarterback. Kirk, a lot of these guys transfer to San Diego State, a lot of young players, including the quarterback. If you talk to any of the players, and I know you don't always have access to a lot of them, but what did they think of the atmosphere, their first game at Snapdragon Stadium? The one thing I wanted to point out, I really was impressed. The student section was pretty filled up, and that's at least one step in the right direction. I know the overall attendance is not what they want at San Diego State, but it's a start, I guess, for Sean Lewis's program.
The students definitely came out in force. Giving out Hawaiian shirts may have helped that, but I mean they all went and got their tickets early in the week, and they showed out very well. Players, I think Danny O'Neill said that it was the largest crowd he'd ever played in front of, and I would think so unless he went to a Texas high school, but he's from Indiana. some of the others I didn't hear too much comment from, but they, you know, there's enough when they're coming out of the tunnel and seeing a full, or not full, but thousands and thousands of people there, obviously gets their juices flowing. As far as ticket sales, I've written this for a while. I think the prices are too high, and at some point they're going to have to bring them back if they want to fill the place.
Oregon State is coming in Saturday night to take on the Aztecs. I think is it 7 or 7:30, Kirk?
7:30. I wish it was
7:30. Yeah, Kirk's got a tight deadline. You talked about Oregon State and how they ran it up last week and 350-plus yards on the ground. I mean, last week was a nice little debut and warm-up for the Aztecs. This is a test. I don't know that, you know, the great Aztec fans out there are honestly expecting to beat Oregon State. What do you think? I mean, could it be this quick of a thing if the Aztecs were to beat Oregon State that they could kind of win a lot of people back this weekend, Kirk?
Well, I definitely think a win would be impressive. They've brought so many new players in, the coaching change and all that, and a victory would, you know, be the first big stamp, big win for the Sean Lewis era. But we'll just have to see. They go on the road for the two games after that, and then coming back, we'll see where they stand after four games into the season and what that can do for attendance and the atmosphere and the energy at Snapdragon Stadium.
All right. Well, Kirk, we always appreciate it. I didn't give you a proper introduction. I apologize. I'm going to give you a proper send-off. There he goes, the award-winning, fantastic sports journalist from
Very
the San
funny,
Diego Union Tribune.
Very funny on my dad.
And a comedian on the side, Kirk Kenny, our guest today. Thank you, Kirk, and we'll look forward to you seeing you next week.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Kirk Kenny right there from the San Diego Union Tribune. Aztecs over Texas A&M. Commerce.
E-commerce. Real quick, before we head to break, we are going to do Chris versus the fans. So get in line, 833-288-0973. You're going to be playing for free wings for a year. We've gotten the okay to do that.
So. What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But there's major news that has happened online in the last a couple hours, Chris. And I just really saw it for the first time. Apparently, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, there's been documents leaked saying that their whole relationship was a sham. And that they have a breakup date coming up, so that it was all a PR move. So everybody's reporting on this right now. I don't know if it's real. I'm thinking it's not real, but it's everywhere on X right now. Everywhere. You can't miss it.
The Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, the whole thing was just a setup.
I called it from the beginning. If this is true, which I don't think it is true, I called it from the beginning.
The thing with you, and I said this yesterday, you basically call everything a conspiracy. So every now and again, you're going to hit one.
Here it is from NFL Rumors. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce has involved lawyers after a contract allegedly revealing the end date of his relationship with Taylor Swift surfaced online. The alleged document from the PR firm implies Kelce and Swift's relationship was fake. Fake, I tell you.
Ridiculous. Wow.
Ridiculous.
I got to be honest. If this turns out to be true, I am going to struggle to get my way through the rest of the show.
That's a good call.
We'll keep an eye on that. Play some Chris versus the fans when Gwen and Chris returns to Buffalo Wild Wings. We're giving away some more prizes. Wish you were here.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.